Welcome to the lecture series of Public Theology, a cooperation of the Berlin Institute for Public Theology, the Beyersnaude Center for Public Theology, and the Lutheran World Federation.
Good afternoon, good morning, from where you might be watching this. Just a little information with regards to myself. I am Rodney Chaga. I am currently a director for the School of Humanities in the College of Human Sciences at the University of South Africa. I'm also a part-time minister of Word and Sacrament in the Uniting Reformed Church in Southern Africa. and I consider myself a student of Black Liberation Theology. And the brief basically this afternoon is just for me to speak a little bit on the subject of public theology and my interest in it. So first I would like to say that my interest in public theology comes, wayward. I have done my PhD on the theology of Karl Barth, looking specifically at how the theology of Karl Barth influenced South African struggle theology and how it contributed really towards the adoption of the Bela Confession. But at the same time, I've always also been very interested in Black liberation theology, simply because I thought it was quite relevant theological hermeneutic in that it forced us to begin to look at the situation that Black people find themselves across the globe. And so that has always been something that I'm very interested in. And I have been all the time of my life trying to find ways of having a conversation between Black liberation theology, also known as Black theology of liberation, with the theology of Karl Barth, but also looking at how African theology really help Black folks to really understand their existence and how they navigate some of the many challenges that come their way. So that is by way of just pointing to some of my interest in theology and its intersection with politics. And then I want to come, of course, to the subject that has brought us here, and that is public theology. Why public theology? Now, I think what would be known among people that are aware of my engagement in theology is that there has always been some kind of silent tension between students of Black theology of liberation and those who prefer to speak on public theology. And the argument that we have always advanced, or students of Black theology of liberation have always advanced when they would intersect with students of public theology, would be to say that there is nothing that public theology is saying today that Black liberation theology has not said in the past. And so that has always been one of the points that Black theology has pushed quite strongly. But there is a particular history to that point, and that is because Black liberation theology come from an era where it has always struggled to be heard by hegemonic and dominant theologies. It is quite easy for us to say that public theology become a form of theology that is more neutral in a sense, in that it sort of skirts whole conversations around race and Blackness and whiteness. So that is basically one of the points that Black theology have always pushed. But also it must be understood that Black theology of liberation has always been a means towards a particular end. So when we think Black theology of liberation, we don't think of it as an end in itself, not as an event in itself, but rather as a means towards that. Because it was very important for Black theologians of liberation, Black liberation theologians, to want to make sense of what Blackness means in a context where you basically were encouraged to sort of denounce Blackness, to denounce Africanness, in the hope that you will become more acceptable to the dominant theology of the time. And we have learned a number of lessons in that regard. Some of the lessons has been that even though you could even get to a point where you parrot the theologies of the dominant, that you will, because of your Blackness, will never certainly be accepted as an equal part of that. But that has never really been our obsession. Our obsession was simply that there should be a theological commentary of God in the public space with regards to the lived experiences of Black people across the globe. And so in a way, there is a relationship, there's a definite relationship between public theology and Black theology, especially if public theology admits to the historical injustices and the historical deliberate marginalization of this theological enterprise. And therefore I'm saying this so that it be clear that there is no fight, there's no struggle as such for one to exist and the other to stop to exist. And I've also very recently come to accept the fact that in fact, we do not need to have a uniformity of public theologies. If public theology is contextual, and it must be contextual, it then makes it very clear that to insist on only one form of public theology and the definition thereof is very problematic. Mm. And that's why I am quite comfortable in engaging in public theology, a public theology that is informed by my local context and the issues, lived experiences of those who become my conversational partners where I am located. So public theology, I see it basically as the need to have a commentary, a theological commentary about God in the public domain. Mm. And of course, the publics are quite many and varied. Also, the questions of who are the interlocutors in that space is quite important. And that is why for me, if public theology is to be sincere and honest to the context where it wants to have this word about God to the situation that is faced by people that occupy that space, it must, of course, engage with the conversational partners that make up that particular context. So Black theology, again, if looked this way, it can then be seen as one example of how to particularize the issue of public theological commentary by raising the issues of Blackness in a context where, as I've indicated, that Blackness seem to be discouraged. And of course, there are a number of other things that also inform the conversational partners today. We have, of course, our gay and lesbian brothers whose voice continue to be marginalized also in these spaces. We have feminists and womanists who unfortunately also has not been taken too seriously by Black theology of liberation, because at the time it was focused on one particular issue and that was race, also not seeing how it treated women in particular as it wrestled to be recognized in this spaces. So this for me, you know, having put it in this way, I'm hoping I'm speaking to the issue of the concrete matters that make the context touchable, you know, so that we don't only say it's public and it's an abstract thing, but that it becomes something that is tangible, that you can put your finger on, that you can touch. Mm. By referring to these issues that I've made reference to. So why must we not lose sight of Black theology of liberation, even though we are having a conversation about public theology? We must not lose sight of that, because as I've indicated, Black theology and all liberation theologies, in my opinion, are all means towards particular ends. They are not events in themselves, but they are processes towards that realization, perhaps, where all Black brothers and white brothers would be seen in each other's eyes as being fully human. That has not happened yet. I mean, we have seen so many racial incidents in the last couple of months and years. We have also seen, for instance, when you look at what is happening with the COVID-19 pandemic, if you look at what rich countries are doing to ensure that they hoard some of these vaccines, if you look at what patents does in as far as making sure that only rich countries have got ample access to this, you can easily therefore relate that same experience to many past experiences that Black people and developing countries in particular have been subjected to. So you see, the question of struggling to be recognized as a full human being is still a perennial question. It is still a question that has not been exhausted. And so it is very important that we must not lose sight of the fact that it is still a relevant theological enterprise, which must help us to get to a particular goal, where we are going to recognize that Black people are indeed full human beings created in the image of God. Public theology becomes particularly important if you consider what I've just mentioned about a theological voice that seemed to be missing in the discourse today around vaccines during this pandemic, also in the discourse around issues of patents, around issues of who gets access, around issues of cost. I mean, we find ourselves in a situation where developing countries are expected to pay exorbitant fees. And the justification for that is that since richer countries have invested in the research, they are therefore, you know, exempted from paying those same exorbitant fees. But of course, one then has to ask historical questions as to why is it that these developing countries, that countries in Africa and Asia and elsewhere, are where they are today. That is, it's not something that happened by God's decree, but we know, of course, that there are historical processes that brought us to where we are. You know, of course, Walter Rodney's how Europe Underdeveloped Africa is another very important text for me that reminds us of the fact that what we are seeing happening today with this COVID-19 pandemic and the brouhaha around it is something that is not at all new, but that there are historical processes that has brought us to this. And therefore, it is very important that we have also a theological voice, a theological commentary, for instance, on a matter as important as this pandemic and the whole politics around that. I have spoken, of course, about Black theology. I have spoken about some of the distrust that is there when public theology is hoisted up as if it is a theological enterprise that takes care of all others and therefore becomes the most popular one. And I've indicated what the issues there are. But I hope I've also made it very clear that in insisting on Black theology of liberation, I am not at all suggesting that public theology should cease to exist, but I'm simply asking and perennially asking that public theology, at least in the context of South Africa, need to acknowledge a history of marginalization, a history of muting Black voice in the struggle of really wanting to understand how God relates to us in our positionalities. I've spoken to that. I've also spoken to the fact that public theology becomes particularly important today, given some of the histories that are there, histories of exploitation, histories also of marginalizing certain countries. And therefore, Black theology must continue to exist. I've also stated very clearly that we do not need a one unifying public theology. It's not possible. If it wants to be contextual, if it wants to speak to the local conditions first and foremost. But I know in theological circles, there's always been a need to look at the universal and then to speak to to the local. And I find that to be very problematic in that what is perceived to be universal is at the same time local for certain people. And all other communities are expected to sort of disregard for a moment their own local and aspire to be recognized by seeing and doing things the way that the universal is doing. So I find that there's challenges, there's issues there. And we have to redefine again what we mean by universal, what we mean by the global, because what is global to some is local to others. And that is why it becomes so important that we insist on this liberation theologies to help us give voice to things that otherwise would not give voice to the struggles and to the issues that gang up on marginalized communities across the globe. Well, I trust that what I have said is somewhat something that could help us think about this relationship between Black Theology of Liberation and public theology, but also the role, most importantly, of what these theological enterprises are supposed to be doing in the public. What qualifies them to be indeed public? What are the voices? Who are the conversational partners that sort of give, that frame the questions that we're having in this public space? So I'm hoping we have I have addressed that. But of course, you know, I have come to the end of this little talk. It is now 16 minutes into this conversation, I think, according to this watch that I have here. And I hope that maybe what I've said is going to allow for more conversation so that we then proceed in a way that really reminds us not to lose sight of the local as we join and take hands with our brothers across the globe. At the same time, also acknowledging past histories that kept other communities out in these kinds of discourses. I want to thank you very much. I think I have come to the end